This special interest teleclass is brought to you by the Law of Attraction Training Center. You can find us on the internet at lawofattractiontrainingcenter.com.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get started. And I'm going to give you all a few moments here to look around for a couple of sheets of paper. We're going to do a really interesting exercise. You notice I didn't say fun. It'll be okay, but it'll be an interesting exercise, and it's one that you never have to do again, okay? So we're talking today about how do my emotions affect my ability to attract. And so while you're getting pencil and or paper, and I'd like you to get two colors of ink if you have them. And if you don't, but you have a highlighter or you have a pencil crayon or something that's a different color, because you'll need it to highlight certain things a little bit later on in the class. But let me tell you, first of all, I'm Rebecca Hansen, the founder of the Law of Attraction Training Center, and I have been deliberately applying this Law of Attraction in every area of my life for the past 11 years. I got to tell you, I would never want to go back to living the way I did before I found the Law of Attraction. But in the beginning, I recall, and I mean for several years, there were certain terms, certain, I'll say, jargon that people who were around the Law of Attraction used a lot, and I didn't really understand what they meant. One of those words in the beginning was vibrations, and I thought, okay, a vibration. I know what a vibrator does, you know, it shakes you. And I know that sound makes different vibrations. And then we don't usually think of colors and light as vibrations, but they really are. They are a different frequency of vibration. And so I began to understand that our vibration, our body, our whole being actually vibrates according to what we think about and how that makes us feel and the emotion that is then produced. And if you carry an emotion long enough, you have a mood. So the vibration comes about because of what we're feeling, what our emotion is, or the mood that we're actually in. Sometimes it can be a thought that triggers it. It could be a smell that triggers an emotion. I live in beautiful Victoria, British Columbia, and quite often when the tide is very low, you can really smell the seaweed as it's rotting and it's putting all of its little atoms into the atmosphere, and it has a very distinctive odor. And I've learned to really love that smell of the seaweed in the air because it's very medicinal. Long ago, before they had medication to cure tuberculosis, people were sent to have the seaside cure. And so the ions and the atoms that are released there are very healing to a person's body. But the smell of seaweed will just trigger a wonderful sensation and feeling and vibration in me. So today, what I like to do is give you an experience of emotions, and at the same time, we'll be building a tool. And this tool, you'll be able to download a printed copy of it after the class, but this tool is so valuable. I would place it in second place to our Law of Attraction T-Tool. Right up there beside the T-Tool is what we're going to create today, the comprehensive emotional scale. The reason it's called the comprehensive is because I've taken three separate sources and combined them. Many of you, I'm sure, have heard of Esther and Jerry Hicks and the Abraham. Maybe you've been to a seminar by Esther and Jerry, or you've got CDs or recordings. But in one of their books, The Amazing Power of Deliberate Intent, Esther and Jerry have what they call an emotional scale. And another person that I read quite a bit of his writings is Dr. David Hawkins. And Dr. Hawkins has discovered a way to calibrate a person's level of consciousness, as well as calibrate whether or not something is true or false. And on a scale of 0 to 1,000, he has actually spent years calibrating many things, such as movies and books and presidents and religions and, you just name it. His books are so full of description and understanding. Well, one day it just dawned on me. His levels of consciousness correspond to this emotional scale. And so I pulled those two together, and you'll see that by the end of the class today, and at the Law of Attraction Training Center, because neither of those lists are really thorough. In fact, almost every time I teach this class, I end up adding another word, and then I go to the document on the website that I'm going to send you to, and I add more words onto this comprehensive emotional scale. So it's always growing, it's always changing, and here's the bottom line. If you don't really agree with where a certain emotion is on this scale, you're free to move it to wherever it feels like it does fit for you. None of this is written in stone, but it is to give you a very vivid example of what your emotions do and how they affect, and we'll have that discussion afterwards, but how your emotions affect your ability to attract more of what you love and less of what you don't. So if everyone has a sheet of paper, and I'm going to do it along with you today so that I know when to go to the next line. But first I would like for you to number from 1 to 23, and if you have lined paper, please use every other line, because some of these lines will have like 7 or 8 or even 10 words written on them. And just start numbering 1 through 23. I'm going to do it here. Oh, I write so big, I have to go on to a second page. I have so much fun with this anyway. Okay, so we're going to start actually at the bottom of the scale. So I have to give you a few instructions here, okay? First of all, everybody take a nice deep breath right now. One more, nice deep breath. Breathe it in. Okay, here are your instructions. I'm going to read the words that correspond with a certain level of emotion. When I say level, we're talking about a vibrational frequency. We're also talking about it's on a specific level of consciousness. What I want you to do is be an observer of how those words make you feel. Okay? But I don't want anybody getting sucked down, you know, by some of the lower frequency words or emotions. I don't want you to get pulled in by it, okay? So as we're doing this emotional scale, I'm going to stop and remind you every once in a while, remember, be the observer. Be the observer. Okay? And I don't have the whole room on mute, so if I do go too fast or you would like for me to spell a word, just kind of break into it and say, Rebecca, how do you spell that word? Or what was the second word that you said? Okay, and then I'll stop and I'll go back a little bit, or I'll spell it out for you. Okay, are you ready? That's me rubbing my hands together. Okay, all right, shouldn't be so much fun, but it is. Okay. All right, on the bottom line, line 23, There are five words. I want you to write these words out. Powerless. Hopelessness. Remember, this is the bottom of the scale. Loneliness. Trauma. And victim. Okay, take a nice deep breath. And line 22 has eight words. Insecurity. Unworthiness. Shame. Humiliation. Hatred. Hurt. Bitterness. And unforgiveness. Okay, that was a big one. Let's take another nice deep breath together. And just observe how these words make you feel. Line 21 has four words. Jealousy. Competition. Sadness. And depression. Go to find my. There it is. Okay. Line 20 has seven words on it. Rage. Racism. Sectarianism, and I'm going to spell it, and I'll tell you what it means. It's spelled S-E-C-T-A-R-I-A-N-I-S-M, sectarianism. And an example of sectarianism, I'll give you one from my own background. I was raised as a Southern Baptist. And amongst the Baptist denomination, there is Northern and Southern and Eastern and Modern and Old Time, whatever. But each one thinks they are the right one, and the only way to believe is their way. So that becomes very sectarian. If you think of an orange, how it's in different sections, well, sectarianism is a real prejudice, which is the next word. So prejudice comes after sectarianism. Hostility. And two more words. Blame. Blame. And guilt. All right, we're going to line 19, which also has seven words. Now, some of these lines only have one or two words, but I'll let you know as we come up to them. For the person that just joined us, just listen in. We are creating our own comprehensive emotional scale right now, and we're on line 19, and we're coming from the bottom to the top. So line 19 has judgmentalism. Apathy.
What was that?
Apathy.
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 Thank you.
Stuck. What was that? Stuck. You know how you feel stuck? You can't go forward, can't go backward. You're just stuck in a place.
Thanks.
Resentment. Embarrassment. ridicule. And despair. Okay, remember, you're an observer. You're just observing how these words make you feel. Line 18 has only one word, and that is grief. G-R-I-E-F. Grief. Line 17 has three words. Fear. Worry. And trepidation. Do you want me to spell that, anybody? Okay, you guys are better spellers than I was. Line 16 has one word, discouragement. Line 15 has two words, anger and revenge. Line 14 has five words, doubt, skepticism, procrastination, indecisive, I-N-D-E. And the last one on that line is cynical. A word I was very familiar with. Okay, remember, you're just the observer. You're just observing, okay? Line 13 has one word, disappointment. Line 12 has two words, overwhelmed and confused. Line 11, frustration irritation impatience. The impatient driver, and agitated. All right, line 10 is pessimism. And for the person that just joined us, we're creating our own comprehensive emotional scale right now, so just have a listen. We're almost done. Line 9 has three words on it, boredom, contentment, and desire.
Did line 10 only have one?
Line 10 had one, pessimism.
Okay.
I missed line 11 then, I think.
Okay, line 11 was frustration, irritation, impatient, and agitated.
Okay, I got that. Okay.
Okay, well, if you missed one, you'll get the full printout after, okay?
Okay, thanks.
Just go with the next line, though, please. Line 8 is scorn and pride. Line 7 has three words, courage, affirmation.
What was that?
Affirmation, A-F-F-I-R-M-A-T-I-O-N, affirmation, and empowerment. Now, line 6 has 8 words on it. So, and actually, one is two words together. The first one is positive expectation. And I'm counting that as one word. But positive expectation. Belief, B-E-L-I-E-F. Relief, R-E-L-I-E-F. Relief. Trust. Confidence. Release, R-E-L-E-A-S-E. Two more words here on line six. Neutrality. And humility. Phew, that was a big one. So is line five. There are eight words on line five. Enthusiasm. Eagerness. Happiness. Delighted. Optimism. Hopefulness. Now the next word is simply fun, F-U-N, but I put all capital letters for that word, fun. And the last word on line five is one that one of the students gave us. It's in quotation marks, God bumps. You know how when you hear something that is so true and so deep and meaningful, how you get goosebumps all over? Well, the student called them God bumps, but that's a very that's a visceral evidence of a very high vibration and a high level of truth. So we call that one God bumps. Line four is forgiveness, compassion, cleansed, transcendence. Anybody need it spelled? Acceptance. Passion. This is all still on line four. And the last one on line four is reason. Reason. Line three has two words, love and freedom. Line two has 10 words, so hopefully you can write small enough to fit them all in. Joy, unconditional love, miracles, knowledge. This is not head knowledge. This is the kind of knowledge where you know something, but there's no, you didn't mouth. It's like the time that I was drowning in a pool, and my father suddenly knew that I was in trouble. Okay, so that's the kind of knowledge I'm talking about. Gratitude. Appreciation. Ecstatic. It's spelled E-C-S-T A-T-I-C, ecstatic, revelation, and the two last words on line two, euphoria, E-U-P-H-O-R-I-A, and one of my favorites is giddiness. That's how I get when I get up on that vibration. Okay, and number one, the very top of our list. Finally, peace. Bliss, B-L-I-S-S. Serenity. And enlightenment. You're done. Let's take a couple and put your pen down, kind of scrunch around in your chair there. Just wiggle all the stiffness out. Just take another nice deep breath together. All right. What did you observe? How did you feel when we first started out at the bottom of the list? Who would like to share just a few observations that we made of ourselves? State your name first, and then I'll call on you.
This is Deborah from Kelowna.
Thanks, Deborah.
I was surprised about what emotions were at the very bottom.
Yes.
Yeah. And I have some of those, which I thought, but I just thought, okay, you're just watching, so don't worry about it. So then I was fine.
Good for you. Good for you. It was good that I asked you to be the observer ahead of time, right?
Yes, for sure.
Yes. Thank you, Deborah. Who else had an observation? How did you feel?
This is Debbie. I realized at the bottom I was spending too much time in those places with those emotions. And I appreciated your encouragement, your coaching us that we're just observers.
Just observe and breathe. Lots. Once in a while I hit the bottom of the pool too. And then I remember, breathe. And I don't mean at the bottom of a real swimming pool. I tried that. It didn't work. Anyway. Very good. Did anyone find a noticeable difference between or at around a certain place where the words were no longer making you feel kind of down or bad?
Between 7 and 8. This is Ellen.
Yes. Thank you, Ellen. I want everybody to draw a big line or a circle around, 7 and 8 there or in between them. Make a squiggly line. Let's make a squiggly line. Maybe use your other color pen or your highlighter or whatever. Because we're going to see in a moment when we add the levels of consciousness, we're going to see that there's a real, what I call, glass ceiling between line 8 and line 7. And Dr. David Hawkins spends most of his time writing about what it takes to get through, to come through the glass ceiling that's there between line 7 and line 8. Did anyone else have another place or a different place? There's no right or wrong on this, but just share with us. Or was that your experience as well?
Yes.
Okay. Is Sherry and Marcy and Mark and Sunshine, are you still with us, Sunshine?
Oh, I think I am.
Okay.
Sunshine is here.
Good, Sunshine. Did you notice a change right around between 7 and 8?
Yes, I did. I felt more comfortable and at ease.
Yes. You could sort of let your breath out and let your shoulders down. Before that, we were kind of steeling ourselves, kind of bracing ourselves against those negative or lower vibrations. Okay, if you would just take the other color, a pen or a highlighter to add, we're going to add some, like, superscript numbers. You know how superscript is. It's sort of at the top
of the of a word at the on the right hand side of a word. So on a scale, his scale is like the reverse of this these lines, okay? So at the top of the scale comes enlightenment. And so next to enlightenment, you could put the numbers 700 to 1,000. On a scale of 1 to 1,000, enlightenment is between 700 and 1,000. Now I want you to go down to the bottom of this scale. I'm not going to give you for every single line, but I'm going to show you what some of the lower vibrations and how low they calibrate on the consciousness scale of 1 to 1,000. Line 23 calibrates at only 20. So next to powerless or hopeless, just put the little superscript number 20. Line 22, some of them only calibrate at 20, but bitterness and unforgiveness come in at 24. So beside unforgiveness, I'm going to put 24. Still pretty low, eh? Line 20, all the words on line 20 calibrate at only 30 out of 100, I mean out of 1,000. Okay, so beside one of those words, put 30. And if you're using a different color ink, it'll really stand out for you. If not, use your highlighter. Line 19 comes in at 50. Well, that's an improvement, you know, but not a whole lot. Grief is 75. Worry, fear, they both come in at only 100 out of 1,000. Let's go up to anger and revenge. Those are 150 out of 1,000. And we'll jump all the way up to line 8 because there's not much change between 15 up to line 8. Line 8, those two words, scorn and pride, calibrate at only 175. Line 7, everything on line 7, however, calibrates at 200. 200. So that's really significant. Use your highlighter for that. Line 6 calibrates at 250. So beside one of those words, put 250. Line 5 is right around 300 to 310. Line 4 is very interesting. It starts with forgiveness at 350 and reason, which goes from 400 to 499. So reason can span almost 100 points in the scale of consciousness, but that's very significant as well. Line 3 calibrates at 500. 500. Line 2 calibrates at 540. And line 1, the peace and bliss are both calibrate at 600, and the enlightenment comes in at 700 to 1,000. Now, you may or may not be familiar with how Dr. Hawkins made these calibrations, and I won't give a whole lesson on it right now. We do talk about this in the Certified Practitioners Program. In fact, this is one of the exercises, so if you do sign up for the whole program and you get to this lesson, you can fast forward, okay? Because once you've done this, you don't need to do it again. The experience of those words is enough to raise your awareness to your feelings when you're in a state, to put it that way. But Dr. Hawkins uses muscle testing or kinesiology is the other word for it. And if you've ever watched him on a DVD, usually it's his wife who's there, and he will test truth, the truth of a statement. And so in order to find out if pride is at the level of 200, he'll make a statement. Pride is at the level of 200. His wife is holding her hand out, and he just presses down on her wrist. If it's a false statement, her arm just drops. She has no ability to sustain her arm outright. So the statement would be, pride calibrates at 200, and her arm drops right down. And then he says, courage calibrates at 200. And he can press as hard as he wants to. Her arm will stay strong. Because what he discovered is that the kinesiology is not testing any individual's opinion, but that our body goes weak at anything that calibrates under 200. Look where 200 is. Which line was 200? Somebody tell us.
Courage.
Seven.
Yes.
Seven.
Yes. Line seven. Look what's below it. Pride. Pride is the determining factor of whether or not we ever get out of suffering. Because everything below the 200 calibration brings suffering and pain to us, whether it's emotional or psychological or physical or whatever. But all the words that are below line seven, which is the calibration of 200, bring suffering. And everything above 200 brings life and healing and wholeness and fun, enthusiasm and eagerness. It's life. Everything below that is death, in a way. I'm trying to find some notes that I had here about at what time. Okay, mankind was stuck. Mankind as a whole, all the people on the globe, calibrated. At what level was humanity vibrating at, or what level of consciousness was humanity vibrating at, and then different periods of time? For centuries and centuries, humanity was stuck at 175. Okay, let's find 170. Oh, yeah, that's scorn and pride. And it wasn't until the late 1980s that there were enough people on Earth with enough consciousness to contradict or to bring up the consciousness of mankind, so that it was at 203. It came up over that very critical line. Then there was another jump in the consciousness of all of humanity in the 1990s, in the low 90s, and it went up to 207. About 2 years ago, though, Dr. Hawkins calibrated that we had fallen back to about 204 as a humanity. And so here's another interesting statistic, and I will include this, or at least part of it, in the notes for you. I want you to just listen to this, okay? One single person at the consciousness level of 1,000 totally counterbalances the collective negativity of all mankind. And then he names four individuals in history, and two of them I recognized, two I did not recognize. The two I did recognize were Jesus and Buddha. The other two were East Indian names that I did not recognize. Okay, one single person at that consciousness level totally counterbalances the collective negativity of all mankind. One individual at the level of 700 counterbalances the negativity, listen to this, of 70 million individuals below the level of 200. One individual at 600 counterbalances 10 million below 200. One person at 500, let's see, what's at 500? What line is 500 located on? Can you find it?
Line 3?
Yeah.
Love, freedom,
love,
appreciation.
Yeah. Love, freedom, appreciation, acceptance. One person at that consciousness level counterbalances 750,000 people below 200. You know, I'm not going to give you more statistics. You can read them in his books if you want to find out at what level different countries are at. Some of those African countries, mid-Africa countries, are the whole country calibrates at 30 or 40. Gives you a different perspective of why there's so much suffering in those countries. The level of consciousness is just so low. But when I look at what the consciousness level of love and freedom are at, I believe that that is achievable in my life and probably in your life. It's not too far-fetched to say that I could live my life, perhaps even up on the next line, of unconditional love. I have really made that one of my life goals, one of my desires. It's like a spiritual principle. I have three of them: unconditional love, perfect acceptance, and powerful grace. Those are the three kind of mantras that I live my life by. And I'm beginning to experience some of that unconditional love and the perfect acceptance that are up in the 500, 540 range, and the effect that my life is having on all of humanity is greatly felt, and it is appreciated. It allows people who have been really stuck, and maybe some of you were stuck. I was right at the bottom. I was a victim. I experienced loneliness. Oh, loneliness to the point of feeling pain in the marrow of my bones. That's right on the bottom of this list. I felt powerless. My situation was hopeless. And even after I started to come up and, you know, basically incrementally living a little higher and a little higher, it wasn't until about, just over a year ago that I realized there was one thing that I had not been willing to forgive my ex-husband for. I even heard myself say to my coach, I can forgive everything that he did to me, but what he did to her, I cannot forgive. And as soon as the words came out of my mouth, because I'm well aware of this emotional scale, where is unforgiveness? It's way down there, line 22. Here, let's do a little math. Okay, let's do a little math. Let's say I have six things in my life that are vibrating at, let's say, the 300 level. Okay, 300, that's pretty good. That's fun, it's happiness, they delight me. Okay, so 6 times 300 equals what? 1800. But let's say I have one thing, like that unforgiveness, which calibrates at only 20. So you add 20 And how much do we have now? 1,820. But let's say I forgive that person. I let go of the unforgiveness. I make a deliberate choice to forgive. What is the calibration level of forgiveness, approximately?
400.
Yeah, around 400. So now let's do the math. I've got six things at 300, 1,800, and I've got the one thing now that I wouldn't give up before, which was bringing my vibration down. Now I've got 2,200. So which vibration is obviously higher? And what was I doing to myself by hanging on to that one thing? Is it starting to make sense to you? Can you see what's been happening? And we wonder, well, I have a desire, I have a clarity, I want this or I want that, I'm really clear, and I've told the universe, this is what I want. I got really clear what kind of car I want. I went out and drove a bunch of different vehicles, and I want this kind of car, and I want that leather seats, or I want fabric seats, and I want bucket seats, and I want stick shift or automatic, whatever. We've got our list, and we're handing it to the universe, and the universe is saying to us, I would love to give you this. But in order for you to be a vibrational match, in order for you to be able to receive, this has to get cleaned up. These things that are rolling around in the subconscious mind. And I'm not ashamed to tell you that this is the purpose for our Certified Practitioners Program, because at first we just get such a lift out of learning about the law of attraction, and we begin to get optimism and hopeful and excited, and we feel so much better. And then we realize it's good, but I thought it would be sustainable. Or perhaps I thought it would even get better. It's good in all these areas of my life, but in this one area, it still sucks. Okay, if this area of your life is, you know, sucks. I don't have sex on me. Anyway, that's a slang word for it's rotten. And I feel stuck. Oh, stuck was on here. Okay, stuck is really low. It's only at 50. What will help me get unstuck? So let me give you an example that happened recently for one of our practitioners. Her husband died about 2 years ago, I think it was. And he had a heart attack, and he was a young man. And he had a heart attack, and they took him into the hospital, and they did all these stents into his veins or arteries, and then they put him in ICU. He was there for 4 days, and then he died. And they had no insurance. And the bill from the hospital was over $107,000. That debt weighed her down so bad that she could not get her nose above water. She could find no air to breathe. When she realized that there was no possibility for her to be able to pay that debt off, she began to look at ways of clearing the debt. That's a whole different thing. Remember we had cleansed in there? Cleansed. I forget what line cleansed was on. Line 4 is cleansed. How could she wipe off the debt? Was there a way to clear the debt? There was. But it took humility and courage. Anybody want to take a guess at what it was? What's the
last
thing?
She filed for bankruptcy.
Yeah, and that's usually the thing people fight against the hardest. Why? Well, if I went bankrupt, that'd be the end of me. No, that is a legal way to say, you know what, this debt is there, and actually whatever it was she filed, she is paying something every month on that debt, but it's not an atrocious amount, it's a manageable amount. Since she paid off the debt, she was able to attract a new, brand new house to rent, paying the same amount of rent that she paid in a neighborhood that had really gotten bad in the last 10 years. And she got out of that neighborhood, and she's living in a brand new house. She said, Rebecca, it's got granite countertops, it's got chrome appliances, it's got this, it's got that, hardwood floors, she's got... And she says, and I'm paying the same rent. The debt is gone, and I'm paying. I'm being responsible. Look at her. She cleaned up that debt, and her vibration, she is so high. She is right up there. And do you know how high you have to be in order to allow these things to come into your life? You have to be around the 500 level to really be able to attract and manifest and live the way your soul wants to live. The only way to do it is to let go. Let go, let go. Release, release, release. Clean it up, clean it up, clean it up. Hey, I sometimes rack up debts that I didn't realize I was racking up. But as soon as I come to my senses and I see what I've done, it's like, all right, I'm responsible. I did this. I wasn't paying attention. I wasn't being aware of my spending right there. And I make the intention to clear that debt off as quickly and easily as I can, because I know a certain amount of debt will pull my vibration down. And hell, I'm the founder of the Law of Attraction Training Center. I can't afford for that to happen. So I have responsibilities. I'm a model. I'm a role model for people. So 10 years ago, I had $150 in my pocket, and I was sitting in the middle of the frozen prairies. Today, I own two beautiful, luxurious condos in Victoria. That comes from being thorough about everything and paying my debts and being aware of what my vibration is. It comes from acknowledging that something was a fit before, but it's not a fit for me now. So I want to, here's a few people's responses here. I'm just sort of bringing it to a close. But what do you want to take that will help you the most to raise your vibration? It might be, I realize I need to let something go in order to get my vibration higher. Or it might be that I need to adopt a certain attitude or characteristic from up above that seven, that line between seven and itch. I need courage, or I need humility. Have a look at it. We're going to go around the room. I'm going to give everyone a chance, or maybe you just have a question you want to ask me, and I'm more than happy to stay on the call and answer your question. But let's start with Peggy. Are you still with us, Peggy?
Yes, I am.
Thank you, Peggy.
My question is, when you're using the scale, how many, like you used the example, you had six things at 600 and one at 20, then you changed it to 400. Well, if you had a lot of things going on, or you were counting a lot of blessings, like you could be well over 1,000. So what's the limit as far as how many items?
The universe, or the law of attraction, is responding to the overall total of your vibration.
Okay.
Okay. So if you have a lot of low frequency vibration, then your ability to attract more things that you do want, things that would make you feel better, is diminished. So I was just using the numbers as an example to show you how if I just changed one thing, that was really, really low, it raised my entire vibration.
Yeah, because I was driving. I'm home now, but that's why I was on mute before. But my experience when you were giving the lift is that most of the words that resonated with me were high, but like then I have loneliness,
yeah,
which is very low.
Yeah. So just acknowledge, okay, we don't beat ourselves up ever. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And you don't have to, really. Dr. Hawkins says the awareness of something is enough. So there you go. If you're aware that you feel lonely at times, and loneliness can bring your vibration down, what would you like to do so that, or what can you put in place so that when you start to feel there, you don't get locked into that low feeling? So just, I'm not asking you for an answer right now, but that's how I would approach it.
Okay.
Okay. And
thank you.
Yeah, stay lighthearted about it. Oh, there it comes. In fact, some of the practitioners have come up with a solution. They say, Rebecca, give it the name of a cartoon character. So when loneliness comes, name it something like Shrek. Oh, here comes Shrek again. And what does Shrek want to do? Shrek wants to, you know, dance or sing or whatever. You know, give it a funny name. Embrace it. Yeah. Yeah, that's loneliness. My buddy, loneliness. Let's go do something, loneliness. Only give it a different name. So we try to find ways to address these so that we're not resisting. Because if you resist it, it persists. What you resist,
right,
it will persist. So say, yeah, that's what it is again. Well, now I know. Okay?
Thank you.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You.
Sunshine, how about you?
Well, I think it's all been just enlightening, I guess, to me. And that's a wonderful thing. But on a personal level, I'm usually a bubbly, positive type of person. However, going through this exercise, I noticed some of the things on the bottom level, like grief is
yes.
one thing that has a challenge, because three of the most important people in my life, like my mom, my dad, my brother, passed away in the last 5 years, and that is a challenge. And I don't really know how to deal with it, although I acknowledge it is what I do, and I try to celebrate it in a positive way, and saying, you know, I'm glad I had that experience to know them. They're still with me.
Yeah.
However, it's still challenging.
Yeah.
So,
and sometimes you miss them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, you do.
Yeah. And being honest about it is really the best thing. Okay? Because, I mean, I have two mentally handicapped kids. And all their life long, there have been grief, you know, at loss, you know, or a disappointment in them not being able to be or do something that they might have been able to do if they weren't handicapped. So I used to live in a state of perpetual and unending grief. That is not fun. But, you know, here's one thing that I've done, Sunshine. This might be of help. I really prayed, and I asked God, could you show me another perspective on my children that will change the way I feel about, you know, feel about them? And I did get a new perspective. So I don't feel in grief at all anymore about my kids.
Wow.
It's changed. But I required a new context, a new perspective. So just try it and email me and let me know if a new perspective comes. But if you ask for one, I believe God will give you a new perspective on something. Often we feel this way because we don't know that there might be another way to look at it that feels better.
Right.
Thank you, Sunshine. Mark, are you still with us? Mark in Florida. I'm not hearing Mark. Marcy?
Yeah, this is all very, very interesting information, and I sort of took a clinical perspective when we were going through the scale and sort of thinking, looking at them as just words, just letters that made words and not really the meanings as much. And then when I went back and was reading it afterwards, obviously, I feel differently.
you
know, than I was when I was just sort of writing it all down.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, yeah, it's very interesting how that happens.
Yes. And a friend of mine who's a banker, I went in to visit her one day at work. She keeps a copy of the printed one, which I'll give you a link after class. She keeps a copy of the printed one in one of those see-through pages, you know, and she keeps it in the drawer at work. So she says, oh, when I'm talking to someone on the phone and I feel like I want to just sock them on, she says, I open the drawer and there's my emotional scale. She says, oh, yeah, that's at about, okay, line 14 or line 15, I'd like to get revenge. She says, that's not going to serve me well. So
it really can guide your activity.
Yes. And so just by bringing that awareness over and over, I have even printed it on really bright pink, the fluorescent pink paper, so mm-hmm. I can find it fast. You know, in my office, find it fat. Where's that paper? Where's that pink thing? Okay, that took me down to such and such. How long do I want to stay there? So
wow.
Just that awareness of how things affect and, okay, and now what do I want? And how mm-hmm. do I want it to be different? And how do I want to respond to this, which might have brought my vibration down?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good stuff.
Sherry, are you still with us? Okay, I'm not hearing Sherry. Ellen?
Hi, Rebecca.
Hi.
Rebecca?
Yeah?
I'm sorry, Ellen. I had to unmute, and it took a second. I'm outside, and there's a lot of traffic, but I wasn't able to write down because I didn't think of taking anything outside, and basically I'm at work. So
okay.
I think I realized that I've been through the EFT with Lynn Hearn.
Yes.
And I really got a lot out of that. I really realized, you know, how emotionally stuck experiences can really hold you down and things like that. But this, I think what I needed to understand the bigger picture of it all. And I do realize that... as you were going through the words, that I didn't write it down, but I did get the sense that it was between 7 and 8.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of my biggest issues is I'm very frustrated and impatient, and I work in the computer industry.
Yes.
But I'm an artist at heart, and that's been my drive is to, you know, I'm always kind of feeling like I'm not on that other side. And I think I need to really work on letting that go. And I think it can happen quicker that way, you know, in the whole attraction process. But
Oh, how about web design?
What?
What about web design?
Well, you know, actually, I've taken ad design, like, in college. And I always knew that I couldn't do the business side of it. I had to do the fine art because I just love the fine arts, and I never wanted to, you know, damage that side of, you know, my creativity. So, but I do have a portrait business, and I have a website, and I have, you know, it's been coming along, but, you know, I need to deal with that frustration because I think I kind of stopped the flow when I...
Yep. Yeah.
Get frustrated with not going quicker.
Yeah, and that's actually EFT is good for getting your emotions unstuck. And then just look at, you know, maybe I can be happy doing this job because it pays the bills.
Right.
I can enjoy doing this because that's where my creativity comes out.
Yeah,
you can do both.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good. Thank you, Ellen. And
thank
Debbie
you.
From Dallas, are you still with us?
Yes, I am. I realize there's just a lot to absorb with all this. I need to let it all resonate.
Yes.
So that I can process and raise my vibration. But this gives you something precise to work with. You've got a roadmap.
Yes.
Laid out better
exactly
with this.
Right. Yeah. And that's why I started giving this class and doing it the way I am, because I just want more people to really understand the role that our emotions do play. And with that, this information, you can do a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
You can go a long ways with just this information today. Good
yes,
day.
Thank you.
And Deborah from Kelowna.
I found a lot of the lower vibration emotions, but I also saw a lot of high ones.
Yeah.
My question is, if you're down there, okay, for example, I'm discouraged because I'm working really hard at trying to apply the law of attraction in my life. If I'm discouraged, how do I change that? What can I feel instead? Or frustrated also resonated with me big time. Like, do you just say I have to let go of that, or... You know,
well, you can stay in frustration if you want to.
No, but if I don't, what do I say to myself?
Well, then you need to say something like this. This is what I did, especially in the beginning. I really can't afford to go there.
Okay.
Okay. As the negative thoughts and the frustration and the feelings, the impatience with yourself, are all part of habitual thinking. And the only way to break a habit is in the middle of it. So, as soon as you're aware of your thoughts or your words vibrating in the lower, you know, lower spaces there,
mm-hmm.
as soon as you do, you stop, take a breath, and use this phrase, and I'm in the process of changing that.
Okay.
And I'm in the process of having a new mindset. And I want you to take my other free class because that will give you three phrases, and I'll demonstrate in the other free class how to, the three phrases to raise your vibration incrementally.
Oh, I took that.
Did you?
Yeah,
okay.
I did.
Well, you have to start with that first phrase.
Okay.
Every time you're down there and break the habit. But if you start berating yourself for still feeling that way, you just lock yourself in.
You're on a
treadmill.
Yeah. That's what it feels like.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
And it takes a lot of strength and energy. I live on the harbor here. I see these great big freighter tanker ships out in the harbor.
Mm-hmm.
They take a long time to turn around and go in the other direction. So I figure, well, I spent 50 years going in one direction. It took me about a year and a half before the majority of my thoughts were positive rather than negative.
Okay.
So be patient.
I'll keep that in mind.
Just keep doing it. Don't beat yourself up, but and I'm in the process of changing that. That thought alone will lift you up.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Did I miss anybody that may have come in later, or I didn't catch your name? Anybody else? All right. Thank you, everyone. And just so you know, I need to say this, and I will go into the email and make sure I write it. This was recorded. I may decide to use this recording in a CD or something at a later date. So if you shared anything that you're concerned for today, just send me an email and say, Rebecca, I don't want what I said on a recording. I will edit it out. That's my promise. And I'm always respectful of people's wishes. But I don't think I heard anything. I didn't really hear anything that kind of was a downer today. I think you're all very honest, and your honesty will help someone else. But if you have any concern, shoot me an email, okay? Thank you. Thank you very much. I hope you join me again on another free class, or the sale is on for till tomorrow evening, midnight, U.S. Eastern, for the entire Certified Practitioner course. It will really clean all the cobwebs out and get your entire life on the right track. So if you want to call me back, I can. You'll see my toll-free number and my regular phone number in the email I send out. You can call me and talk to me about taking the program. It's 65 hours on audio and weekly meetings, mastermind meetings, live weekly meetings with me. And the students, the graduates, faculty, and myself come on these calls. And we celebrate together and we work on challenges. So I'd love to have you. I'd love to have some more new folks in the program. Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you, Rebecca.